So this week is Parshas Bahaloisecha, and over the last few months we've been looking at some of the different Polish chassidus and the Rebbe Rabinim and Kol Simcha. This week, you know, the Rebbe Rabinim was famous for the way his words, his vertlach, they contained, you know, with one word he could say a Torah that his Talmidim, the Kotzkin, the Ishbitzin, all the other great Polish rabbis would spend pages and pages and pages explaining what did the Rebbe mean. So here's one Torah in Parshas Bahaloisecha where the Rebbe Rabinim, I've been breaking my head to say, Echamach Tzibroch in the cup, on trying to understand this particular Torah. And every time I read it, it's like it eludes me again. I have no idea. No idea what it means. But I feel like this is an essential. So he brings the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah says, it's talking about the menorah, the candelabrum that was lit every night in the sanctuary. And it says, God says to Moshe, to Aaron, that he has to raise the lights towards the center. And so we learned that the menorah, that the wicks were sort of pointed towards the center. There were six arms, and then there was the central arm, the seventh light, and that they all had to point towards the center. El mul pnei ha-menorah, towards the face of the menorah, yo'iru shivas ha-neiros, these seven lights should all face. So the Medrash says Omad David, and I don't know why the Medrash says David, because it's Mishle, and you know, so this is the Mesholim of Shloime, but it says Omad David. David says Ba'or Pnei Melech Chaim. Ba'or Pnei Melech, in the light of the face of the king, Chaim we live. Omer Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yossi said, what does it mean, the Pnei Melech, the face of the king, and that we live in the face of the king, or the light of the face of the living? It's hard to know what it means. He says, Nimnas ha-simcha min harishoim. What's happened here is that the joy has been taken away from the wicked, v'nit le-Yisrael, and it's been given to the Jewish people. Shehutzrich ha-Kodesh Baruch Hu leshev im bosa b'dam b'ner, because God is obliged to sit with human beings with a candle. Sha'om Alohem, he said to them, El mul p'nei ha-menorah yi'iru, let them kindle towards the center of the menorah. It's a very strange medrash. Doesn't appear on the face of it to have like a meaning. Right? So, first of all, David instead of Shlomo, I don't know why, but he's bringing a connection with this verse from Proverbs. Bo'or p'nei melechayim, we live in the light of the face of the king. And Rabbi Yaakov says, "Nimnas ha-simcha min ha-rishoyim," that the wicked don't have joy. It's been taken away from them and given to Israel, because God has to sit with humans to the light of a candle. And so he says, towards the middle of the menorahs, let the candles light. It really doesn't make sense, right? So one of the nice things about the Rebbe Rabunim is that he actually takes like old-fashioned medrash and he does old-fashioned pshat, which kind of used to be in fashion and then it went out of fashion. But, you know, in a sense, he's a classicist because he goes back to the medrash. So he says, what's the point of lighting the menorah? You know, God doesn't need the light, right? So the purpose of the light of the menorah is to illuminate the menorah. It's an amazing idea, right? The purpose of the light of the menorah is to make the menorah look beautiful. It's like a Christmas tree, right? What's the purpose of the light of the Christmas tree? To decorate the Christmas tree. What's the purpose of the light of the menorah? Is lehoir pnei ha-menorah. So by lighting these seven lights, we get to see the Pnei HaMenorah. Why? Because, he says, the Simcha has been taken away from the wicked and given to the Yidden. What does that mean? He said, the seven lights correspond to the seven Sephiroth. What do the seven Sephiroth correspond to? Seven Midos. What is that? What does that say? Well, we've been learning over the years, the top three Sephiroths are called Moichin, they're Osalahara. The bottom seven are called Midos, and they represent, as it were, Kavayochol, so to speak, characteristics of God. On the one side, you've got the Chesed, which is the giving without restriction. On the other side, you've got Din, which is withholding. And then you've got in the middle, you've got compassion. So, the idea of the Sephiroth is a kind of daring way of trying to understand God. Trying to understand how God interacts with the world and what God's thoughts are. I mean, this is it's intrusive in a sense, and it kind of in a certain way, an understandable way, kind of limits God and says, you know, these are the characteristics of God. It's the best we can do under the circumstances, and it's in its own way, it can be very big, but ultimately it's small. It's seven characteristics. Now, the Rebbe Rabbinim says what the Medrash means: Nimnas Hasimcha min Harashoim v'nitna leYisrael, is that had God not chosen us to carry various duties and messages and lights and whatever, the whole world, everybody would be a Kabbalist. Everybody would be looking at these seven characteristics of personality and saying, you know what? This is the divine in me. Every Rusha, every wicked person on the planet Earth would be able to see God. Ba'or pnei melech chayim. I mean, we live by the light of the face of God. So what does God do? Nimnas ha-simcha min harishayim. I mean, he takes this simcha, which is the Or Pnei Melech, the light of the face of God, which is, what's the simcha? The simcha is God knocks on your door and says, I would like to have lunch with you. The grace of simcha, yeah? So it's taken away from the wicked, and it's given to the Yidden. Shehu tzrich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that now God is obliged, leishev im bos v'dom b'ner. What is the ner? Ner Hashem nishmas odom, right? Every human being has divine in them. Every human being has the chelik, right? This human divine connection, the spirit, right? Ner Hashem nishmas odom. It's the candle of God, right? So God has to sit with everybody together, right? No. So every wicked person in the world can know God, can see the face of God by looking at himself. So God says, no. I'm taking away the simcha. I'm giving it to the Eden. El mul pnei hamenoiro ya'iru shivasa neirois. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it that it's not everywhere in the world. This pasuk, Ba'or Pnei Melech Chayim, in the light of the face of the king we live, that's not really going to apply anymore, because I command Moshe to tell Aaron, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Yo'iru. I want these lights to go to the Pnei HaMenorah. They're not the Pnei Melech anymore. They're the Pnei HaMenorah. No, who's the Pnei HaMenorah? The Yidden are the Pnei HaMenorah, says the Rebbe Rabbinim. So, the person, every person is the light, right? Is the ner, is the candle. And God is obliged to sit with us. Hutzrach HaKadosh Baruch Hu leishevim bosev v'dam b'ner, in the light. Because the life force that we have, that's God. Everybody would be able to look at themselves and see God. But God doesn't want to be there with the wicked. So he says, you know what? I'm going to put these midos, these sheva midos of chesed, gevura, tiferes, netzach, hod, yisod, I'm going to put them into the Jewish narrative with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, Yosef, David, and this whole Kabbalistic trip that we are on. So you've got this story of Adam and Noach and Avram and the Ovois and Yitzchus Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satoira. This whole thing is as a cloak, as it were, for these seven midois, because God doesn't want to be laughed at. And God doesn't want to be a source of joy for the wicked. He wants to be a source of joy for those who deserve. That's how the Rebbe Rabbinim understands this Medrash here. I don't know whether the Rebbe Rabbinim is the first to say that Yidden are the Pnei HaMenorah. You can find it earlier, maybe in the Noam Elimelech. You can find it, a reference to it. But definitely this is an idea in Polish Hasidus, that the Pnei HaMenorah are the Yidden. And we find it in the Piasetzen and Parshas Baal Oisecho. He says it clearly. He says, the Shekhinah Shoyre B'Yisrael, the meaning of the Pnei HaMenorah is different from the Ochor HaMenorah. There's the face of the menorah. Well, if there's a face, there's a backside also. So what's the difference between the face and what's the difference between the backside? So he says, the Tachlis, the purpose of something, is called the face of it. That which is inevitable, but not the purpose, that's called the Ochor. So the purpose of life is to do good. So that's the ponim, right? The fact that you can't go through life without doing bad as well, that's the Ochor. So the Pnei HaMenorah, the Piasetzne says, the Tachlis of the Menorah is these, the Yidden. And they are the ponim. So the Torah tells us, Vayas kein Aaron, and Aaron did so, El mul pnei HaMenorah ha'elo nereseo, towards the center of the menorah, he raised its lights. Rashi says, Lahagid shvuche shel Aaron shelo yishino, this tells us the great praise of Aaron, that he only did what he was told. El mul pnei HaMenorah ha'elo nereseo. So the Piasesna asks, why does the Torah say that Aaron did what he was told towards the center of the menorah, he raised the hand? What about all the other mitzvahs to do with the menorah that he did? Why didn't it just say, Vayas kein Aaron? So what was it about these raising these lights towards the center that he did? So the Piasesna in the Warsaw Ghetto, he says, Lahagid. Hagid is always, Gidin is always difficult, when things are very difficult. Like Rashi in the Gemara says, Esev Ma, it's a very bitter, like a wormwood, you know, like the ultimate bitterness is, these are the idea of Gidin, sinews. So Lahagid, Shvuche Shel Aaron, that even when Aaron had to Nebuch bury his children, he still did what he had to do. And he didn't allow his sadness or anything to prevent him from doing. And what was the great thing that he did? He didn't just do that, the mitzvah of lighting the candles, but he did it, everything he did was in such a way that he illuminated the Pnei HaMenorah, which are the Yidden. So it's possible to do a mitzvah in such a way that it lights up the face of everybody. Like sometimes a person does a mitzvah, you know, I feel embarrassed. Oi, why didn't I do that mitzvah? You know, why, I wish I had done, like, oh, that puts me to shame, or whatever. You know, sometimes, and sometimes I'm with somebody when they do a mitzvah and I feel completely elevated. You know, sometimes you're with somebody who's celebrating Simchas Torah, you know, and he's dancing in such a way that it makes you lift your feet also. Or sometimes you're sitting, you know, you're learning with somebody, or you're davening with somebody, or you're eating shalashudas with somebody, and somehow you, what they're doing makes you feel involved and elevated. So that's the pshat. El mul pneim, no matter how hard it was for Aaron to do what he was doing, nevertheless, he was always able to do it in such a way that the Pnei HaMenorah. So let's come back a minute to what the Medrash is saying. That the Pnei HaMenorah, that the purpose of the light of the menorah is to illuminate the menorah. The Pnei HaMenorah. The light is the neshama, right? The Ner Hashem. Ner Hashem Nishmas Olam. What is the purpose of the light of the Ner Hashem, to illuminate the Pnei HaMenorah, which is the face of the person? When we talk about being a light unto the nations, yeah, it means walking out into the street and somebody looks at your face and he says, look at that person. Look how he's shining. Because El mul pnei HaMenorah yo'iru, and there is something, you know, you look at a person and their face is shining in a certain way, that something inside them is burning bright. The Rebbe Rabbinim used to say that even though nismatu adoiris, with each generation that goes past, you know, the light is dimmer and dimmer. We're further away from Sinai. We're further away from authenticity. We become less and less what we were, more distanced. You know, our children, I look at my children, you know, they don't know Europe. You know, I thought when I was growing up that every Yid has a taste of a Europäische Yid, Findeheim. You know, to my children, I'm a taste of Findeheim, and I laugh, you know. Naich, you know. What are you talking about? But for my grandchildren, you know, what? Europe. Was a shtetl. Will they ever meet a Yid who knew what it smells like or tastes like to be in a shtetl? And shtetl, what's a shtetl? That's not authentic anymore. You know, we keep on coming further and further from who we were. And the Rebbe Rabbinim used to say, even though nismatu adoris, even though that light gets dimmer and dimmer, the neshama light, which is inside every individual, keeps on getting brighter. And his Talmidim didn't understand how that could be. They were mishtoimim. I was reading somewhere that they didn't agree. They didn't agree. What, something's getting brighter? Something's getting better? Something's getting... No, everything's getting darker. I mean, just go to shul and ask your Rav and he'll tell you. Everything's getting darker. It's all going to end in trouble. It's, you know, which is a fairly accurate description. You can usually predict it's all going to end in trouble. It's going to end badly. Well, yeah, but the Rebbe Rabbinim says, but it's not true. You have to accept that in fact the light inside each person is getting brighter. And in a sense, it's a little bit like, you know, with the atomic You know, it doesn't explode until you actually crush it, you know, like the atom bomb. You know, in order to make the atom bomb explosion, you actually have to make like all these tiny little imp explosions that forces the central core into a tiny little spot, and it's kind of squashes it, and then it explodes, you know. So there's something about us in this generation that we are being squeezed, and being squeezed that way is making us shine brighter and brighter. And that Nekuda, that spot, that Pinta Liyid, is now 100 times brighter than it was in the times of the Rebbe Rabbinim and the Kotzke and the Ishbitzin. And there's something that's shining really. So what is it illuminating? It's not illuminating the world. It's illuminating ourselves. That the whole point about being a light unto the nations doesn't mean that I, with my philosophy, tell the world how to do a better place and how to unionize and how to save the whales. That is, no. That's the old-fashioned way of thinking of what it means to be a light unto the nations. What it means is that the light which is inside me will shine out of me onto my face. And then people will walk in the light and they'll say, "Boy pnei melech chayim," right? Like Reb Zalman says, you can become transparent to God. Oh, I was thinking about, what does it mean? You can be transparent to God. You know, sometimes you can be so real and so, I hesitate to use the word pure, but it's like authentic or whatever. So not wrapped up in yourself, but so doing the right thing that somebody looking at you sees you, but sees through you to God, right? It's like sometimes you look at somebody who's mamish doing, and sometimes not a yid. You know, I remember watching this Japanese guy who would throw pots. I don't, probably not alive anymore. He was 80 years old at the time. He was like a national treasure in Japan, and he would throw pots on a wheel and stuff like that. And just, you know, he'd been doing it for like 65 years or something like that. You can't describe it, right? You have to see this pot come alive in under his hands. Or, you know, watching Monet painting, you know, water lilies, yichvais. It's not just a yid learning Torah or davening that can be transparent, you know, to God. That's every person when they're mamish expressing the ner. When they become the ner shines through. Then the light on the face is not their own light, but it's the light of the divine. And you will look at them, and that person in his actions is transparent to God, who's the actor really. And the Medrash here is saying that the Rebbeinu Shlom says, you know what, I want this to be here in the Shivas HaNeiros. The Ishbitzer in this week's Sedra asks the big question that nobody else really asks, which is, why does it say El mul pnei ha-menorah yo'iru shivas ha-neiros? Towards the pnei ha-menorah, the seven lights should lean, because we know that the six arms of the candelabrum, they at the top, the Kohen would arrange the wicks so that they pointed towards the center. But the center, it goes up by itself anyway. So why do you have to have a kavona, a special intent, to make the center column go up? It's going up. Well, what's the havamina that I should point the wick down? I'm like, what might I have thought? The Ishbitzer asks, if it hadn't said, you should just say towards the center of the menorah, the six lights should point. So in the Me'er Shiloyach, we were learning every year that it's not enough to do the right thing. And I want to say that this is maybe the reason that, for, you know, when we talk about a special being a yid, different being a yid, being a special mission, being, you know, like, It's not so comfortable these days to stand up and say, you know, we're different. Why are you different? So the Ishbitzer says there's one way in which we're different. Right? And that is, if I say to anybody, if God would say to anybody on earth, I need a favor. Everybody will say, sure, whatever you want. But then a person will expect a reward, right? If God says, well, I need you to die for me. Who wouldn't say, all right, God, sure, well, whatever. You know, my life is yours, take it. Right? But in my heart, I would expect to be reimbursed, so to speak, for my out-of-pocket expense, yeah? So you'll take my life, yeah, you'll give me a place in Adamabra, yeah? Yeah, you promise? Now, what if God says, I need you to do something bad. I need you to kill him. You say, you sure? God says, yeah, yeah, I'm sure. So, all right, whatever you say. Wait a minute, but how's this going to look? You know, how's this going to be reported? And God says, well, you know, you're going to get arrested. You're going to go to trial. You're going to be put to death. And you say, oh, all right, I guess if that's what you want, but then you'll give me you'll give me my reward in the other world. And God says, no, you'll be a murderer. I'm gonna give you Gehenna for murdering. You say, well, what do I need it for? I'd rather not get the punishment, not get the reward, not get nothing. Please, you know, find some other volunteer. This sounds ridiculous, right? So the Ishbitzer says, knowing what he knows of a Yiddish and a Shoma, that only a Yid would say, Rabbi Nishan, whatever you need. You need a goody, I'll be a goody. You need a baddie, how bad do you want me to be? And of course, once you see that that's a Jewish trait, so to speak, then you can see it in the Akedah. That's the true meaning of the Akedah. Avram says, you need a baddie? All right, okay. The proof that Avram thought he was a baddie is that he didn't wake Surala to tell her, Shnukala, I'm off to do a mitzvah. Because he didn't think he was going to do a mitzvah. Thought he was going to do Aver. So the Ishbitzer says, Ayid is maskim, that it was nirsham, that forever in the Torah it will be recorded, I did an Avera. How many people are available for that? Not many, right? So the Ishbitzer says, Eilis, that a Yid is available. And he says, that's the meaning of that middle column. It's not enough that it goes up from its own self. Of course it goes up from its own self. But what happens when God needs you to do something that isn't the right thing? And in this week's Sedra, we have Miriam and Aaron saying Lushan Hara about Moshe. Favos, you think Miriam and Aaron didn't know that they were speaking bad? Of course they knew they were speaking bad. So what did they need it for? Because God needed to say, Peh el Peh. Loikein avdi Moshe. My servant Moshe is not like you. You think, you think I speak to you and I... Moshe's nevuah, he says to Aaron Miriam, is completely different from... quantitatively different. That conversation couldn't have come about unless they had turned it in such a way that they had been poigem, that they had done something to damage the honor and glory of Moshe Rabbeinu, that God could then rebuke them and explain how great Moshe was. Otherwise it wouldn't have happened, says the Ishbitzer. So you know what? Moshe and Aaron were available to God to do an Avera. How many people are available to God to do an Avera? Really available.